I recorded this episode of the podcast back in December, but held on to it for some reason, and now I know why. Here's the story. I have held a job steadily since I was 18 years old, and if you do the math, that is 42 years, but for those 10 months during COVID. I've had the itch for a while to strike out on my own to give entrepreneurship a whirl. And when I broached this topic with fellow podcaster and my good friend, Rochelle Condé Now, she said something that stopped me in my tracks. Rochelle said, "Michelle, it's never too late, but late is coming." And I knew my 60th birthday was just around the corner. And I also realized that fearing failure and giving up some of my financial security was holding me back from pulling the trigger on going after my dream and fulfilling a passion. I needed to start following my own advice. Staying stuck because you fear change is the scariest proposition of all. I read a quote recently, and it went something like this. When it feels scary to jump, that's exactly when you jump. Otherwise, you end up staying in the same place your whole life. So on February 29th, 4 days shy of my 60th birthday, I resigned from a position as director of inside sales, a job I really liked and a place I've called home for the last 3 years. But it was time, as a stronger force was calling me to do something else where I can help midlife women realize their potential to be their best and focus on making these amazing years their healthiest yet. I will continue to do the podcast, so stay tuned. Certainly more to come on this. And thank you for being here. Now, on to the episode. Health, wellness, fitness, relationships, and everything in between. We're removing the taboo from what really matters in midlife. I'm your host, Michelle Folan, and this is Asking for a Friend. When measuring what a great life looks like, does the one you're living match your dreams? Many of us are looking at this amazing phase of life and assessing how we want to reframe this chapter. Maybe it's your career, a relationship, pursuing a passion, or a fitness journey. Do you need a little push to feel empowered to make your move? Shannon Russell took her own life pivot from being a successful TV producer to a certified career transition coach to help women prepare and produce their best life. Shannon is also the host of the Second Act Success podcast and a creator of companion coaching programs and online courses. Welcome to Asking for a Friend, Shannon Russell.
Thank you, Michelle.
It's nice to meet you. And again, how these things work out. We got introduced by a guy named Adam, who does the podcasting coaching school or
business school.
All right. And he thought we would be a great pair to do a podcast together. And I'm always so appreciative of that. I would love for you to kind of fill in the gaps a little bit here in regard to your background, your family and school, and also your career path details.
Sure. So I was a communications major. And right out of college, I went to New York City and I got my dream job working at MTV. That was what I wanted since I was, much younger when I first discovered it. I was very into music and television, and it just seemed like a perfect match. And I worked there for a majority of my television career, worked in New York City and then moved to Los Angeles and continued to work with MTV. And then also worked in reality, and I worked for E! Entertainment and digital with Yahoo and other big companies. Yeah. And produced for about 16 or so years. It was just such a dream. And then I became a mom, and then things start shifting a little bit. And that's where I kind of decided, okay, I think I need to put the brakes on this career that I love to really be able to be present with my kids.
And did you move back from LA back to New Jersey at that time?
We actually did. I suffered from a little postpartum depression right after having my first son. And within 6 months of having him in our lives, we moved from Los Angeles back to the East Coast. My family and I grew up in New Jersey. And so I just needed that family around. And so my husband is a television producer as well. And so we both were commuting into Manhattan. I went back to my roots at MTV once again. He got a job. So we were doing that commute and had family around us. And we're still here today on the East Coast.
So you told me too, they're like kind of between doing what you're doing now with the podcast, you started a franchise?
I did. So I had my first son, and then 3 years later, I had my second son. And at that time, I was still commuting to Manhattan. And actually, it was when I was pregnant with my second little guy, I had this aha moment of, I can't be doing this anymore. It was just the stress of trying to, I had basically an hour and a half or 2 hour commute from New York, and it was trying to get on the bus or the subway and the bus and get back, you know, to pick up one from daycare. And I was pregnant. And so when I had my little guy, I said, you know what? I think I need to figure out something else. And that was where I really, really struggled because, as I mentioned, television was everything I had ever wanted to do. And I had to do a lot of soul searching and kind of reframing to sort of think of it as, I'm not giving up on this career. I'm checking the box. I had done everything that I wanted to do. And I looked at those people that were above me and I didn't want that job. I wanted to be a mom. And so I said, okay, great. I was able to accomplish this dream that not a lot of people even get to accomplish. So I checked that box and I started thinking, well, how can I move from television into something else that's closer to home? And that's when I started really doing a lot of soul searching. I always say I've made a lot of wrong decisions. I took a 9-to-5 local job. I went back to graduate school thinking I wanted to be a teacher and I would get my master's. So I was really just trying to figure it out. And it was a lonely time of really just figuring it out. And so one day looking at my then 3 or maybe 4-year-old at the time, he was building with Legos. And I just had this idea of like, I want to dive into STEM education and really learning more about that. And I came across a franchise called Snapology. And I ended up just taking a huge leap of faith. I bought into the franchise, opened this business. And basically, we teach children Lego building and robotics and how to think like an engineer. And it's very education-based. And so, yeah, I opened that in 2016. And now I still own it almost, you know, it's been about 7.5 years.
Oh, wow.
That was really a transition into being able to be that more present mom that I wanted to be and use my managerial, my executive kind of running a business, running a production. And I transferred that into running a business.
A few things here I want to comment. First of all, very brave of you to admit that being a mom was what you wanted your priority to be. So kudos, because that is a really hard decision to make when you've worked so hard in your career all those years. So I love that. But you had a lot of pivots through all this. So this was not one of those things where you decided one day this is what you're going to do and you did it. You tried a few things in there to try to see what felt most comfortable. And this franchise sounds like it really spoke to you.
Yeah, it did. And I didn't jump into it. I mean, it was a leap of faith, but I did my research. I spoke to many other franchisees, and I felt that I could use all that experience in running these large-scale productions in entertainment on a much smaller scale and running my own business. And it was scary, but I started to see as I started to grow the business and figure it out that I really did have the experience and I had the skills that transitioned over to a different career path. And that was a great lesson to learn that I now am able to teach others, because I think so many times we feel like we're pigeonholed in what we decide to do when we're 22 and we're leaving college. And for me, it was really a great learning experience to learn that I can do this really scary other thing and I can do it well. And, Yeah. So it was, and it was one of those things where I could do it from home. I could go out during the day while my kids were in school, and then I could be there to pick them up. And so it was really that perfect combination of being that mom and still really owning a business and being successful at it.
And then when did you decide to start coaching and start a podcast? Because I always laugh when people are like, yeah, I decided to do a podcast. Like, what in God's name would like make you want to start a podcast? That's, you know, the question I get sometimes.
Oh, yes, me too. And what's funny is I would get these questions in running my other franchise business that people would say, oh, you're such a great teacher, because I would teach a lot of the classes for the first few years. I would be teaching kids and out at schools, and people would say, oh, what grade did you teach prior to this? And I would say, actually, I'm a television producer. And I would get these reactions. And then I would get, well, can you teach me how to do that? I don't want to do the commute anymore, or I want to switch to something else, because 15, 20 years in, this dream of mine, this role that I started, doesn't fit my life now. And so I started just helping friends or even customers of mine. Okay, well, why don't you try this, or, you know, read this book, or this is what I did, or I would just kind of be counseling them kind of on what they could do to make their transitions. And then it just hit me one day. I was talking with a friend who was really struggling. She was having this really long commute and she was so unhappy, crying every night. And it hit me that I had no one to help me when I was transitioning into a new career, and that maybe I really could help others. And so I sat on it for a little while. I started writing a book. I was just thinking of how I can reach more people, and the podcast came to mind. And so I initially began the business as a podcast and interviewing other people about how they left their first job and started a second act. And then from there, I really started just coaching people and educating myself more on different ways. And yeah, so now it's a podcast and I'm a career coach. So it's been so fulfilling.
Yeah. And this is not about me, but I'm going to make this about me just for a second here.
Please do.
It took me losing my job before the pandemic, like 6 weeks before shutdown.
Oh.
And being 56 years old, you know, in the middle of a global pandemic, just really reassess what was important to me in regard to my career. And that's when I decided to do a podcast. So sometimes we have to be forced into making those decisions, but just to be able to have that time to be able to really think about it was super important for me. And one thing I do want to say to you is that for midlife women, you know, we're not just talking about careers here. It's not just about finding a career you love. Sometimes it's just about finding the life you love. And so what are some of the common themes that you hear, particularly with midlife women?
Well, Michelle, I want to comment on what you said too, is that I think the pandemic forced you to really take that time and think about what it is that you want. And so often we are just busy working and running a family and doing all the things that we never ask ourselves, are we happy and what do we want? So the pandemic gave that to you. And so often I hear that from clients and from guests on my podcast, that they're just so in it that how dare they take that chance to switch things up? How dare they, like, who are they to want to wreak havoc in the status quo of their lives? And that's the biggest thing I hear, is that, you know, I'm unhappy, but everything's going okay with my family. I'm just going to, you know, keep coasting along. I often say, well, you can, and that's fine, and everything might work out, or you can just start slowly thinking about what it is that you might want to do, just like on a whim. Just think about it, write it down, journal about it, allow yourself to think about it, and you don't have to make any moves, but then you can start thinking, well, what would it look like if I did do that, if I did take one step? Because it's a lot of times we just don't listen to ourselves and take that time.
Well, there's the whole paradigm shift of always putting everybody's needs ahead of our own. Yes. And making that uncomfortable move of saying, I'm going to prioritize myself right now and make myself happy, or figure out what it is that will truly make me feel fulfilled. I guess my question would be then, if you know you have this midlife itch, but we're having difficulty figuring out what that is, how do you dig into someone's passions? Like, how do you get them to pull that out?
I like to just ask the questions about childhood even. Like, what did you want to do when you were younger? And does that still, at some point in you or a little part of you, still want to do that? Maybe it's not still want to be that ballerina that we want it to be or something like that. But are you more interested in being creative? And if it's creativity, could you write a blog? Could you start writing a book in your spare time? Or, you know, maybe you started off with one major in college and then you switch for whatever reason. Is there still an interest that lies there? So you can start thinking about your past, because I think our past really does lead us to our future and where we should be. And then really, I like to think about the threads that kind of thread us through our lives. So I talk a lot about now producing your best life. And that's what I did. I produced these big projects. And now I help people produce a life that makes them happier, or I produce my podcast. So there's little threads that go through. And a lot of times when you think about those threads and even where you are now, even if you're unhappy, well, maybe there's some way of going above and beyond where I am now to bring in some of those aspects of my life that I do love, and in a way that doesn't disrupt everything. So just to start to dabble in that.
So I'm thinking about someone that I know in particular who, I'll say, she gets a bad case of the Sunday scaries, dreads Monday, and her job's super stressful. She isn't fulfilled, but she feels stuck in her situation. Hers is financial, but what if you're in a family business and you're beholden to the family business? Do you ever help clients try to find peace where they are?
I do, and I think you can find peace where you are. There's definitely clients of mine and even friends of mine who, like you said, are beholden to where they are, and there's not really a way of breaking completely free from that. But it's finding a way to find yourself in the midst of that day-to-day stress. And it might be silly, but I love Christmas. I'm like a big Christmas Hallmark movie kind of person. And there was this thing that, this is just something that popped in, but there was something that popped up on my Facebook feed about going to this online virtual workshop to learn how to write a Christmas movie. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything that I do on a daily basis for either of my businesses. But I said, you know what? I want to do it. And I signed up and I did it. And I cannot stop talking about it, clearly, if I'm talking about it with you. But it was something that just gave me joy and gave me an hour or so. It was only a couple of nights during 1 week, but it gave me that time for myself, away from the kids, away from work, where I could focus on something else that just brought me pure joy. And there was no stress or expectations to it. So if we can find those little things that pop up that seem like something that would bring us that joy, because you never know where that can lead. So I just urge everyone to think about that in the midst of your stressful day. Maybe it's just going for an extra long walk by yourself with a good podcast in your ear, or writing, or picking up an instrument, or baking. Just those little things that kind of bring you those peace and make your weeks not as stressful, because you feel like you have something that's a part of you.
Yeah, I like that idea. And what a fun class to take.
Oh my gosh. And Michelle, I'm like writing in my spare time now, just writing these fictional stories. And I mean, it's just, I find that that is a nice little stress relief that I didn't know I needed. So I feel like at any time we can come up with something that can give us that little escape.
Doing this podcast has been very enlightening for me, because I'm finding women in midlife are, man, they got balls. They're doing some really incredible things, writing books, like you starting coaching business. I say this all the time, that you don't have to write a book. You don't have to start a coaching business, but finding that little thing that lights you up and is adds some fun to your life. Some women just are still even uncomfortable doing that because they don't want to be seen as silly, or they still fear failure in some degree. And so that's that's something that I bet you have to work through with people as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And with myself as well, because you're right, we all have that imposter syndrome, or I just think it's at this age in midlife that we kind of maybe care about what other people think just a little bit less. And we do prioritize our sanity, if you will. Because if you are so stressed all day, it comes back to your work. It shows in your work. It shows with your family. It shows with your friends. So just to say, it doesn't matter if I want to spend all Sunday reorganizing the closets because it's me and my alone time and that's what I enjoy to do, then you can do it. But yeah, it's just finding that little thing. It can be something so silly, and embrace the silliness, right? Like, we only live once.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a part of self-care, honestly. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you ever work with a client and discover that maybe it's really a relationship that's in need of some attention or change, and maybe not necessarily the career or that little something outside of their career?
I do. And it's funny, I find that something I struggle with as a coach is I become almost friends with my clients, like too friendly, and that they start telling me about their personal relationships and different things that are going on in their lives, which is wonderful because I want them to feel that level of comfort. But we do start talking about that sometimes, in how I have had clients say that their spouse or their partner does not approve of maybe their business venture that they're taking, or the fact that they are thinking about this change and they're looking at different career options outside of their current industry. And, you know, I'm not a therapist by any means, but it's saying, okay, well, you can respect what that partner, what that person in your relationship says and how they feel. But at the end of the day, you can only make yourself happy. And that's why I talk about baby steps and not just saying, I'm quitting today, and the Jerry Maguire of it all, and just walking out and having it disrupt your whole family. But you can do little baby steps to learn about yourself and learn about that potential career path or life change, and just dabble in it and see how it will have a ripple effect or not have a ripple effect on everyone else. Because yeah, you want your relationships to stay healthy and strong, but you also want to make sure that you're happy. So yeah, that comes up quite often. I think, again, to bring it back to the fact that we are in midlife and we know what we want at this point, and we are a lot, I think we speak our voices and make our moves in a way that we wouldn't have done in our 20s.
I think we're getting better about that. And I saw this on your Instagram, I think. It said something about putting others first oftentimes means burying beneath other people's needs. I think, again, it's a paradigm it's hard to shift out of. And then some of those are also the expectations that people have of us as being a breadwinner and that sort of thing. It makes them uncomfortable thinking, okay, they're able to change. They're able to grasp this new thing in their life, and it can make the people around us feel unsettled, I think, at times.
Oh, yeah. I struggle that with my husband. It feels that way often with me and all the changes that I've made in these last 8 years or so. And he admits it sometimes that it's, you know, he's still in the same career path and I've done all these other things. But it's still, everyone has their own path. So it's not changing. I'm still bringing in money to the family. I'm contributing. I'm doing all the things. And I always say, you can change at any time. I tell my kids, we were having this conversation with my father, who's retired, my kids asked him to start writing a book about golden retrievers. And he said, oh, okay, I'll look into it. And they're like, no, you can do this. You can write it. And I'm trying to get him, my dad, to do this because it shows my kids that you can do something at any age. You can change and try something new, that they don't have to stick in the same path. So
yeah, I had a guest on my show. Her name's Susan Geedy. And in her early 60s, she decided she was going to get herself in shape. She lost, I don't know how much weight, 50 some pounds, really just went at it, did a body competition, and is doing stand-up comedy, and had her first one-woman show where she sang and played the harmonica. She is 66 or 67 years old.
Wow.
And this is where I don't care how old you are, if you're 60, 70, 80, you get to do what you want if you really put your mind to it, you know? And she did. And I just love her and her story. But we can also talk about imposter syndrome, not feeling like we're enough or that we're qualified to do something. What are your tips for building that needed confidence to step out and do the thing?
I often say that if you feel like you need to take a course or a workshop or, you know, join something online or do that, if you need to pay for some sort of education to make yourself feel better, then all the better to do it. There's so much at your fingertips. You don't need to go back to get a master's degree in whatever it is you're doing. But you can also make a pivot without spending money on courses and all of that. So it depends on where you're looking to pivot into. But I think to get that education, if that's going to make you feel confident, and if you're a lifelong learner, like I feel like you and I both are, Michelle, that why not, you know, and enjoy it and learn more, that is going to give you the confidence to move forward, but that it's not a necessity, because you can get so much education via podcasts, books, so much online, and even reaching out to someone who's in that field that you're thinking about, whether it's on LinkedIn or on social and different groups, reach out to people. It's so easy to connect with someone that you don't know on the other side of the world these days, and people are happy to help give you some advice.
Oh my gosh, that is such great advice, Shannon. The connection piece, I cannot tell you how grateful I am to the people that, and it was women who I reached out to prior to starting even the podcast of, hey, what's your opinion on this? You know, could you help me with this? What do you think? And I continue to do that. You and I were doing that before we started recording, sharing ideas and tips. And that community is out there just waiting for you if you so choose. But you gotta make the phone call, you know, send the email, and you'd be so surprised how many people are really willing to help.
I agree.
I would love for you to share one or two client success stories, because I think you probably have a few to.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I have a client who actually turned 60, and that was a big year. She had gone through a divorce, and she was really trying to come into her own. And it was interesting working with her as she was trying to grow her business that she thought was going in one direction. And then as we worked together, she started realizing that her passion was in a different direction. And so she pivoted a little bit within that. And now she's getting up on stages and speaking about her past and all the ups and downs that she went through, and being 60, she talks a lot about the lessons learned, should we say, of when she was trying to apply for jobs around that age and the responses that she was getting that made her want to open her own business and really be her own boss. And so it's incredible just to see the different avenues that she's gone through and is just happy. She's just happier coming into her own. And then there's another client, I always love to say that she knew she wanted to change, and she was doing that really long commute that I did into Manhattan, and she chose to take a course and study and do her classes on that commute. So she was really dedicated, where she could have been zonking out watching Netflix on the bus or on the train, but she was studying and she got a certification. I forget how long it took her. And now she left the city and she opened her own business, and she is thriving being close to her kids, which is what she wanted. So
I love
just
that.
Different ways of really figuring out how to navigate that change.
Fantastic. Let's talk about your podcast. What kind of guests do you typically have on your show?
I love to have guests who have, my podcast is Second Act Success Career Podcast. So anyone who has started a second act career, so people who have come on and started their career in marketing and now they have a fashion line, or anything that's really drastic and fun is always great to talk about. And again, to get to those threads of how you can go from one to the other. And then I have some career experts on as well. I've had people on talking about the financial side of changing careers, or franchise advertising, for example, or recruiting, using recruiters to find what your next step may be. So yeah, a mix between experts and just people like you and I who have made that change.
Yeah.
And you will be on my podcast very soon too,
yes,
Michelle, and I can't wait for that.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Any big plans for 2024? Any big changes or anything?
I'm launching a newer version of my program, my coaching program. So that will be coming out in 2024. And I'm really working on speaking more and getting in front of people and kind of sharing my story and encouraging other people to step out of their comfort zones and kind of produce their best life too. So yeah, so we'll see where that goes. And I am writing a book about second acts as well. So we'll see how much that gets accomplished in 2024, but it's a work in progress.
Oh my God. Could you put anything else on your plate, Shannon? For God's sakes.
Writing Christmas movies. Who knows? Let's see.
You have to tell me if one of your movies ends up on Hallmark Channel. I'll be
shouting it from the world if that ever happens.
Okay. All right. I love to talk about self-care, and I would love to ask you, what is one of your important pillars of self-care?
It's zoning out. I love podcasts and I love walking with my dog. So every morning after I drop the kids, I take a nice long walk with him and I have my earbuds in. And that to me is just getting away from everything I need to do for the day and just listening to something fun that's not business related or podcasting related, and just taking that walk, getting that exercise. And yeah, and then reading. I just love to get away with like a nice fiction book. I love reading about self-care or, you know, self-improvement and all of that, but to be able to get away in some kind of fictional world is really nice too.
Yeah, that sounds like heaven to me. I like that. How can people find you?
Sure. Everything is at secondactsuccess.co. That's .co. And there you can find links to my podcast, which is on Apple and Spotify and everywhere, and my coaching, and there's blogs about career advice and all of that.
Wonderful. Shannon, I really appreciate you being here and look forward to catching up with you here shortly.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
Thanks, Shannon. Follow Asking for a Friend on social media outlets and provide a review and share this show wherever you get your podcasts. Reviews and sharing help us grow.